Blog Talk Radio.
Why do I do things I hate? Why do I say things that I shouldn't say when I know better? Could love better. Some days I take it too far. Sometimes the world gets the best of my heart. I know who I am till I forget just who I am. When I find myself again, standing knee deep in my sin, you chase me down when I don't deserve it. You show me love, you don't make me earn it. I make a mess and I just start running, hoping you won't know. Oh, and I'm lost and I'm low in a place that I think you won't go. You chase me down. I can't believe you stay when you don't have to, 'cause you want me, whatever that looks like. Yeah, that's what love looks like. You chase me down when I don't deserve it. You show me love, you don't make
I can hear me being unmuted, Jeannie, but I can't hear you. I heard the song. Beautiful song, but I don't hear you. Nothing.
Okay,
I can't
hear
you, Jeannie. Yeah, I can. Now I can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had to. I don't know why it does that. I just had a sneaky feeling that I better check it tonight. there's a little button on here I can push that will let me talk without it echoing, but it's one of those things when it gets to 8:30, it echoes again. So it means I have to shut the program off at right on time. So, okay. Well, at least I know. I'm glad I did that. Let me mute you back again right quick. Thank you so much for being such a help, too. I appreciate you so much for that. I know I can always depend on you. Let me write down this other phone number right quick. Anyhow, tonight I want to talk just a little bit extension still on what I talked about last week, a little bit different slant on it. But and as you guys know, most of the time what I'm talking about is typically something I'm going through, and tonight is no different. But, you know, last week I talked about being a friend of God and in the natural being a good friend and understanding what a friend really is, you know, and the things that that we should do that really extends a genuine friendship. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about even just being a good friend, being a good neighbor, being an example. We are the example of Christ in the earth. And let me see here. I got a couple of scriptures I want to read. Two different thoughts on the same thing here. One of them in Matthew 5:42, it says, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Then it says in Proverbs 25:17, it says, "Let thy foot be seldom in thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and hate thee." And then it also says in Exodus 22:14, "If anything is borrowed, it should be paid back. If what is borrowed is lost or injured, full restitution must be made." And then in Psalms 37:21, it says, "The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives." You know, sometimes it's difficult or can be difficult in really following God's wisdom. When it comes to friendship, when it comes even to being neighborly, being a good neighbor and those sorts of things, that, you know, most of us that belong to the Lord, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but we have a heart to give. We have a heart to bless. You know, my husband and I both, there's nothing that I love more than blessing people. It's just something that just brings total joy to my heart to be able to give to others and to help others and to be generous with them, and that's just something that just makes my heart sing. I love it. My husband is the same way. You know, when we go to restaurants, we always give above and beyond on the tips and things like that. You know, if we hire somebody, you know, there's a little teenage boy we've hired here a couple times to help us on the farm, and always gave him, you know, a way above and beyond what would be considered a wage and things like that. And it's feels so good to do that. But it also is the heart of Christ, because God loves to bless people, and he loves for us to be an extension of his love and his concern for people. When it has been within my means, I have loved to reach out and help the poor, and to give unexpected blessings and unexpected gifts. And you know, maybe just because I knew somebody was going through something, if it was within my ability to reach out and help, you know, even without anybody asking, just to send those gifts that were just totally out of the blue, you know, and at times to give things that were anonymous that they didn't know. But, I mean, I love that. I just love that. But we also have to use wisdom, and I've been asking the Lord about this the last couple of days. You know, it feels a lot different when we feel like someone's using us, you know, because the enemy, whether the enemy working through people, because certainly he does, that's how he works, or whether just people sometimes, when you have a heart to give and you have a heart to bless and you have a heart to share and to do those sorts of things, there are those that will see that and go, I can make this work for me. And we'll take advantage of that graciousness. And, you know, I have to ask the Lord. I mean, as I look up scripture, there's a whole lot more scripture about blessing those that curse you and loving those that are not very lovable and things like that. But I also know that, you know, even Christ didn't let people abuse him. He didn't let them overstep their rights in be invasive on who he was. You know, they weren't allowed people won't allow somebody else to come in their own home and try to rule their own home. It's like, this is my house. and I rule my own house. I have authority in my own home. I have authority in my own family. I mean, God, that's a God-given, I mean, God gave us that. I mean, we have authority in Christ. But it can be confusing sometimes. I'm going, God, I love to give and I love to do for people. And I try to be a friend. I try to be a neighbor, a good neighbor. I try to extend the love of God. But, Lord, this person is abusing that right. This person is taking my graciousness for granted. And it's like, Lord, okay, God, what is God's way of dealing with these sorts of things? You know, and it's always, we always want to self-check, you know, even in our, you know, in our own lives. You know, I look back and it's like, Lord, have I been at times guilty of, you know, a real friend will call you even when they don't need something. You know, if there's someone that's only contacting you when they need something from you, then I honestly, I have a hard time saying that that person's a friend. I would say maybe an acquaintance, but not necessarily a friend. You know, it's like, Lord, have I done that at times? Have I ever, you know, I don't think so. But we have to go back. I mean, even where our parents are concerned, you know, and how many times have we done that with God? That the only time that we went to God, it was always with our wish list. God, now I need a new car, and we need a raise. I need, you know, and you know, I've been having trouble with my back, or and Lord, that boss is so mean to me. Lord, I wish you'd just give me another job. You know, and just, I mean, and how many times do we go and do that rather than like a friend that we just call and say, hey, how you doing? I was just thinking about you today. I wondered how you are today. What about, could we have lunch? Could I come over and let's have, or why don't you come over and let me fix a pot of coffee? And I've got some cookies or something. Or maybe someone that has blessed you so many times, just to say thank you occasionally, maybe bake a pie and just unexpectedly show up and say, I just want you to know how much I appreciate how that you're always there for me. And you are on my heart, and I baked this for you because I want you to know I appreciate you and I love you. And I'm so thankful for your friendship. Or do we, you know, do we call people? Do we expect people to constantly, can I borrow your tractor? Can I borrow your mower? Oh, by the way, can I borrow that? You know, can I, and I say these things specific because that's what I've been going through. You know, can I, you know, can I have this? Can I have that? You know, and then maybe, you know, we learn, and this is the way I was raised. Like if you, you know, and in the word says, if you borrow something and it, like in the Bible, it's talking about animals, but like if something is damaged, if you borrow somebody's mower and you get it, you know, you break the blade or something, you go get it fixed. And before you take it back, now this is not anybody specific, this is just examples here. You not only get it fixed, you wash it off and you fill it with gas and you take it back to the full tank. And I don't care if you, when you got it, it had a quarter of a tank. When you take it back, you take it back on a full tank. Because that's integrity. That's integrity. And that's showing the nature of God to go above and beyond to do what's right and to bless people. You know, I can remember, Dad's been dead for several years now, but I remember one time, my truck had to go in the shop, and I wasn't going to have a vehicle, and I had to have something to run errands with. And Dad was in, he was in the nursing home already, but he still could drive a little bit. But he had a truck up there that was parked at the what is assisted living. It was parked up there, and I had asked him. I said, Dad, I've got to put my truck in the shop for 3 or 4 days. Is there any chance that I could borrow your truck? And he was like, sure. And it had been sitting out there for months. honestly. So he gave me the key and I went out there and I looked. And when I looked, I'm trying to think, was the inspection sticker out? Anyhow, I took it, and it was dirty on the inside. You know, Dad didn't, he didn't fool much with getting them washed and all. But anyhow, while I had it, I took it and completely washed it and cleaned it out before I took it back. I ended up only having to have it a couple of days. And I filled the tank, and I had the oil changed. I can't remember if I got it inspected, if I had the paperwork in there to do that or not. Seemed like I did. I don't remember for sure, but I do remember taking it and filling it completely up and getting all the oil changed and the filters changed and completely washing it and cleaning out the inside for him and making sure all the tires were aired up and all that good stuff and his fluids were done. And when I took it back, I took it back better than when I got it. Now, that wasn't just because he was my dad, but that certainly, I wanted to bless my dad, but, I would have done that regardless of who it was. But we're the representation of the Lord in the earth. And I could tell you so many examples of things that, you know, sometimes a lot of the things we learn what not to do. I have to say the things that I have, the places that I've been and the people I've been around, I honestly think that I have more times learned not what not to do than I have to do. And sometimes it grieves me, the ones that I would consider like mature saints of the Lord, maybe people that are even in ministry, and the things that I see, and it's like, God, you know, am I missing something here? God, show me. You know, and always self-inspecting. But, you know, I remember one time, like I said, my husband, we've always loved to bless the waitresses and the waiters. That's just us. You know, those men and women or kids, whatever the case, you know, they get a small wage and their tips are the majority of their pay. And I remember being at a restaurant. It was a group of us, church ladies, you know, mostly church folk from a meeting and the speaker. And she believed that, you know, her saying was, you know, God only requires 10% and they don't deserve any more than God. And it's like, God's not working as a waitress. You know, that's part of their pay. And at that time, I think typical was 15%. Even then, you know, we would pay 20 most of the time, you know. But when they brought each person's bills, we were sitting at a big long table. And when they brought each person's bill, I actually just happened to be sitting across the table from the speaker. And she made her little speech about only God, you know, requiring, you know, only God wants 10%. And anyhow, we each had our own bills. It wasn't all put together, but everybody kind of piled in a pile when I got my bill. And of course, I noticed that she had kind of chintzed the waitress. And when I got my bill, I put extra in, anyhow, for the waitress. And when she saw me lay my tip down, she reached and grabbed some of hers back out, which really kind of miffed me because I thought, you know, what I give the waitress is nobody else's business. And it embarrassed me. It embarrassed me as most anyone that sat around there would have known that we were a church group, you know, praying before a meal and just the conversation, if they were close enough to hear the conversations and things like that. And then to purposely take money back out of the pile and try to enforce somebody else's beliefs. You know, if that's what you do, then that's between you and God, but that's not what I do. And I ended up picking mine up and just taking it to the waitress and gave her the tip that I wanted to give her with nobody else looking to see. But that kind of the stuff, it's like, it sheds a bad light on Christianity. And it's to me, that's not being a good steward of even though we might not personally know the waitress, it's not being a good steward of the faithfulness of God and the heart of God. And it's not being a good witness
because our lives are a witness to everybody that we're around, whether they know us or they don't know us. You know, and when we purposely steal from somebody, which in a sense to me, that's what it is. I know there's not a law against how much you leave. But, you know, even the thing about the neighbor stuff and that sort of thing about, you know, are we, you know, do we make a connection with someone, or do we notice other people for what benefit they are to our life? You know, when it becomes all about us rather than that mutual friendship, that mutual, really even being able to feed into somebody else's life. You know, what can I do to bless this person, or what can I do to help them in their walk? What can I do to show the love of God? What can I do to exemplify the heart of God? For one thing, we want to please the Lord because He's watching. He's watching all of it, every bit of it. You know, if we get mad at a drop of a hat, you know, if someone cuts us off in traffic and we're immediately throwing a wall-eyed conniption fit, and anybody driving by you in a car can see that you're about to blow the top off your lid. You know, all that kind of stuff. And like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we have to consider that kind of stuff. You know, am I a friend? You know, am I a friend to you? Am I a friend to others? Do I exemplify? You know, am I showing forth the grace of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God? You know, and like I said, I'm looking at both sides of the coin here. But when there are those, and I wouldn't call them necessarily a wolf in sheep's clothing. Sometimes that's just maybe the way people have been raised, or maybe they weren't raised in church. There's so many things that can affect the way people see things. But if people seem like that they're really abusing the grace, and they're, you know, what can I get? You know, or will you do this? Will you do that? Well, what about this? You know, or that they're really trying to manipulate and trying to control and overstepping their bounds. Then, you know, and I've been asking God, you know, going through that some with a neighbor myself. It's like, God, what's wisdom here? You know, if someone is not considerate, you know, not considerate of us. You know, just like the old rule of not calling people's house too late unless it's an emergency. You know, typically, I know my mom, she taught us, you know, you don't call anybody's house after 9 o'clock at night. And of course, us old folks, sometimes we are asleep by 9 o'clock. But, you know, it's a consideration, you know, to fellow man. It's a consideration to the people around you. You know, an emergency, yeah, that's one thing. But to be aware of whether or not we're inconveniencing people or putting them out. You know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was the kindest, most gracious. You know, but he saw through things. He saw through people. You know, he saw the fakeness of their heart. He saw the ones that were sincere. And it wasn't always the ones that you would have thought were. You know, when everyone else was, you know, wanted to accuse Jesus for having supper with a tax collector. And yet that man, his heart was genuine. He's like, you know, everything that I have taken, I've given back. I will give it back. And, you know, he wanted to be right with God. He wanted his life to line up with the Lord. And to navigate through some of those things, those difficulties with people. You know, even today I thought, Lord, sometimes you let us go through those things because you want us to learn how to handle it. You want us to learn how to walk through it. You know, saved, unsaved, self-centered. pushy, controlling, betrayers, those that steal from you, all of that kind of stuff. You know, he doesn't protect us from all of that. He wants us to learn how to mature through it. You know, he protects us from harm. And there's times, you know, there's times God will expose things and he will protect us so that we don't. But very often he allows us to walk through it because he's less concerned about those outside circumstances many times than what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our minds and how we learn to process it. Because it's not always easy. You know, it's like, Lord, you know, do I handle this? How do I handle this in a way that pleases you? Because that's bottom line. That's bottom line. But just be aware. You know, I've already kind of run through my time here. I need to play a quick song. I've got several more callers that have come in while I was talking. And I always appreciate you guys. Y'all are just so gracious and so wonderful. And I know I kind of blather on through some of these talks that I give and lessons. And, you know, these are life lessons. This is not something out of a book or out of a preaching sermon somewhere. This is life stuff. Things that I've learned or I'm learning, things that I'm walking through that everybody, you know, we all have common battles. We all have common things that we go through and things that we learn to grow through and just the wisdom of God. Because the last thing any of us want to do is break God's heart or to displease him in any way. Anyhow, I'm going to play another song right quick here while I write down these numbers, and then we'll begin to take callers. Like I said, since I had to call in with my own phone, it will shut me. It'll start to echo right at exactly 8:30, so I won't be able to go beyond that any. Let me see here. If I can find that song again. I like this one. Be the man.
Everybody wants to be somebody. I wanna be somebody too. If I'm gonna be known for something, I wanna be known for you. I wanna be the moon up among the stars, fly around the world, lighten up the dark of night. I'm nothing without the sun's amazing grace on air. Gonna cover up the work you're doing in me, but stay with every breath I breathe. I wanna be the moon, up among the stars. If I'm gonna be known for something, I wanna be known for you.
I wanna be the moon up among the stars,
Reflecting the light of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, Father, I thank you for each and every one. And, Lord, I just speak a blessing over their lives. Lord, release. Lord, encouragement. And I'm just hearing the word expedient. Expedient, Lord, that things would come forth expediently in their lives. Lord, that they're believing for and they're praying for and they're seeking you for. The light shined. The light shined, Lord, in illumination upon their lives and upon the things that are upon their heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. First caller here, 828-989. How's my girl, Jennifer?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm doing well. Joey seen always. Despite.
That's the thing. That's the thing to do, girl.
It's what he tells us to do, right?
It is. Rejoice always. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Father, I thank you for Jennifer and Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the growth that you're doing in her, Lord, the wisdom that you're instilling in her, and Lord, that the pieces of the puzzle have been coming together, Father. And Lord, it's whereas at times it felt like that she was trying to shove a square peg in a round hole. But, Lord, things are beginning to flow a little better. They're kind of coming together a little easier. She's not feeling like she's having to jump up and down on the pieces of the puzzle to try to make this fit. And then the frustration that comes with trying to make things fit when maybe we just have something in the wrong place. It's like, okay, this goes somewhere, but it don't go here. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for helping Jennifer to step into the flow, Lord, that things will begin to come together for her, and minus the frustration and minus the fear and minus the anxiety and questions and the what ifs and but what if and just maybe. Lord, that she'll find that place of comfort and that place of peace. And that place of going, you know what, this is meshing. It's almost like I see things meshing together, not, you know, kind of like when you're stirring a cake mix together and you put in the eggs and you put in the milk and that stuff, and as you start to stir it and it starts to come together and it starts to look like cake batter rather than flour and eggs and sugar and milk, it starts to become one. It starts to become to look like what it was intended to look like instead of pieces, parts. And I try not to take long here, but I feel compelled to tell you a story. When Hollis and I, for years, you know, we had been part of a church and we had both been on the praise team. You know, I sang with the praise team, but I wasn't playing. I just sang, and he played guitar with the praise team. You know, somebody else leading, somebody else's songs and things like that. And there came a time that the Lord had told us to leave. Now, it took the Lord about a year and a half to get us to move because at first we weren't used to that sort of thing. We were just used to being in the same church and weren't accustomed to God moving us around. Now, since then, he's moved us around many times, and we have learned to listen to that, and it's no longer shocking. It's like, oh, okay, God's moving us again.
But when we went, and there was a place I had been visiting some, had been doing, they had a weekly Bible study during the middle of the week. And I had been visiting there some. My sister was down there at that time in another town. And anyhow, we felt, actually received a prophetic word from a lady that wouldn't hardly have known me at all. And said, the Lord's trying to move y'all to another church. Well, anyhow, we was like, okay, this is where God's trying to move us. Well, the first time we walked in the back door together, from the pulpit, the pastor said, our news praise team just walked in. Well, we both turned around and looked behind us to see who had walked in behind us, and there was nobody behind us. And, of course, our eyes got big as saucers, and we went, what? And we're going, no. You know, we just, you know, we've never done that. Anyhow, it took a couple of months for them to persuade us. But, see, God was trying to teach us how to flow together, how to, for twos to be one. I had all my life had just played the keyboard or piano, whichever, to the Lord. I had my own songs, but I wasn't doing it in front of other people, and I wasn't doing it with Hollis. That was me and God. That was my time with God, of singing to him and worshiping him and playing the songs that he had given me. Now, I had sang on praise teams with other groups many times, and that was fine. I was used to that. And same thing, Hollis was always used to playing with other groups, had playing with bluegrass and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, he was comfortable. But see, I played by ear, and he read music. And so it was like we talked two different languages. You know, so suddenly, when we were thrown into trying to practice songs together to learn how to flow together, it was like one of us spoke German and the other spoke French or the other spoke Spanish. We couldn't communicate. And it was scary. And it was like, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. Because he would ask me, he would say, well, what key are you playing in? I'm going, well, it's this black key right here. Because I didn't know. And he would say, well, this song's in B sharp. And I'm like, what is that? But if he played the note, I could hear it and I could find it. And for him, he kind of learned slowly to, you know, that if I said it's this second white key right here, then he learned how to kind of slowly pick that out. And it was, I'm sure it sounded like a Chinese fire drill when we first started trying to play together and to flow together. But see, that's what God wanted. He was changing what had been our norm. You know, my comfort zone was just playing before the Lord all alone, just me and him. That was our time. That was my time and God's time with him. You know, Hollis was used to playing with a group. He was used to getting up and talking in front of people and leading people in prayer and things like that. And I have to say, it was a year and a half, a solid year and a half, before we finally learned to speak the same language. You know, in the beginning, you know, if I went to play some of my songs, I would do something. Now, Hollis, he's very left-brained, and I'm very right-brained. And to him, music is like, he says it's like mathematics. Well, I never liked mathematics much. I could do it, but I never cared for it. I was more of an English person. But I would do something, and he'd say, you can't hit that note. That doesn't fit there. And I'm going, well, why can't I? It's pretty. And he's like, people don't do that. And I'm going, well, I don't know. I don't know the rules. But see, after a year and a half, God taught us. See, he wanted to use what he had put within me and what he had put within Hollis, and he wanted to bring it together and, you know, and make a song out of those two things together. And it was out of our comfort zone. I can't imagine how frustrating it was for Hollis. And it was difficult for me. And then in the process, but see, it allowed him to put the giftings together, and it allowed him to pull out things that were within me that had been hidden, and pull out of things at Hollis that had never been tapped into. And so he made it, all of those pieces come together and made it a one, made it something, you know, made it something beautiful. I would never say that we were great, but God used us in that sense. You know, and it we stepped into a different level. One thing just, and it was just still, you know, we had to be obedient to God and allow God through all, and those poor people, oh my gosh, those poor people that had to listen to all of that while we tried to work out the kinks and tried to learn how to speak the same language and how to flow together and how to lead people in worship and how to pray and how to talk little mini sermons and to be comfortable with it, to just be comfortable being vulnerable, hung out there for God to use. Anyhow, God is, I just sense that God is leading you into some of those same things and that some of your comfort zone is going to be challenged because, you know, we all have the way that's familiar to us. And you're, and that place that I'm like, well, it's just been me and God, and I really love this, and I really feel His presence, and you know, but He's got more, and I think I'm just going to leave that right there. I'm just going to leave that at that, and anyhow, and say, how are you? What's on your heart tonight?
Yeah, sometimes I think God, you know, I know He's not trying to kill me, but it sure does feel like it, like building that resilience. I feel like He's trying to kill me, honestly, yeah. Yeah, so I'm just, before the phone call, I just literally threw my body over my desk and was just like, literally just in exhaustion, just crying out to Him. So, yeah, I'm ready for whatever He's doing. But, yeah, you know, I think I told Greg, I don't know, several weeks ago that it felt like all the puzzle pieces were starting to come together. Like, I can see Him, and it just, everything just makes sense to me. So I don't struggle. I mean, I have this awareness of this picture being painted or puzzle being put together, but He sure has been testing me lately, so we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I would love to worship. I'm an English person too, so but,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I always have to chuckle because you seem to have a lot of, like, your personality seems to match mine quite a lot. But, I'd love to be in, I can't do anything like that. He would have to anoint me, but it's like my dream, though. My worship is my love. It's absolutely what I love to do more than anything in this world. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Greg sings and that you sing and write songs and all that, too, though. You know, so.
I love
that. That's all very
songs.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, I agree. Your anointings, you have so many similar anointings and things like that, and I can feel you. I mean, I can feel your heart. There's enough similarity there. I can feel you. And I remember, it's been a number of years back, there was a lady that used to, it was in the Bible study with me. And I didn't know her real well, but like if I walked close to her, and particularly, like, every now and then, if they would say, hold hands, everybody hold hands and pray. If I was close to her and she and I held hands, it would feel like electrical impulses. It would be sparks fly. And she told me one day, I was like, do you feel that? And she said, yeah. She says, it's that healing anointing. She says, you and I have the same anointing there. She said, and it's like putting two positives together. And it made sense to me when she told me that. So it's, anyhow, like I said, I can feel it because you've got so many similar things there, and it's just,
mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Oh, I know. I can feel you as well, and I would love to meet you one day. It would just be my joy. But,
I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Like, just, you are so loved and so appreciated.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Well, is there anything you want prayer about before I move on, hon?
No, I'll let you move on. I just thank you for blessing me with everybody with your story, and I'm trying to seek God more. Just really like press in and be silent. Usually I do a lot of talking, and it's just been more lately just silence for hours and hours. He's been waking me up at 3 a.m. every morning for the last week. And, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning when you're tired and just trying to sit in silence, it's sometimes hard. You have to get up and move. But I've been doing that. So this will give me, give me some things to seek him about.
I went through that exact same thing several years ago, and it was at 3 a.m. God woke me up at 3 a.m. And then went through a thing one time of, I kept seeing 3:15, 3:15, 3:15, and finally one night I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, this can't be coincidence. What are you trying to say? I said, if this is a scripture, I said, there's a whole lot of chapters that have a 3:15. And instantly when I asked him, he said, Colossians. So I pulled it out, and it was, I mean, just like that, and I was so shocked, and it was about the peace of God. God wanted me to have peace. But
I am right on the dot, and it's not that I have to, you know, use the restroom or anything. It's just, like, be with me, like, right now. And usually I'd be, like, rubbing my eyes and, like, but, I'm just popping right up, so I know it's him. But,
he passed our obedience like that. You know, will you do it? Yeah, been there, done that. Absolutely. Well God bless you, hon. Well,
God
love you, girl.
You.
And you have a great week.
I love you, too. Thank you.
502-548. How's Mr. Greg?
Well, I'm just peachy there, Miss Jeannie.
All right. I bet you are. I bet you are. All going well?
Yeah. Busy day, but yeah, it's good.
Good. Well, I'm going to pray over you, even though I've already seen what I've seen about you. But, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Greg, and, Father, I thank you, Lord, for that second win. I'm going to tell you what I've already seen. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for that. The Greg, I just see you taking a big breath, and it's like, you know, people that run, I don't know that I've ever had that, but the people that run, they said they get that second wind sometime, and that they'll feel kind of wrung out. They'll feel like they've kind of lost a little energy, feel like they need to step up, and suddenly they get that second wind, and it lifts that weariness some. It just gives them a little bit re-energized. It gives them that little extra step, and that's what I, even before I ever clicked on your number, what I saw was a second wind coming to you. But I see that second wind giving you, not only giving you the kind of more energy to press on, but it's like it bringing you a level of peace of like, okay, now we're good, okay, you know, I can continue on, and it relieving stress, I guess there's a good one, that it, you know, because when we feel taxed, when we feel like we're kind of to the end of our energy, and it doesn't have to be necessarily even our physical energy. Sometimes it can just be we've had too much on our mind. You know, we've had too many loose ends that we were trying to put together, and it's tiresome. I mean, it's tiresome. I mean, even through all of this that we've done here, even though Hollis has been doing the vast majority of the physical work, I mean, it's warming out, keeping everything put together, and I just sense you getting a second wind and it bringing a relaxation, it bringing that feeling of, okay, this is going to be okay. I can continue on. Stress level going down, pressure going down, that thing of, all right, I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. I can, but that's what I just seen for. Like I saw it before I ever clicked on your number. Is like that second wind coming up to you, and it making things feel easier, being easier. But a lot of times it's just the feeling of being easier because we have the oxygen that we need to continue in the race. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless Greg, and Lord, give him wisdom. Give him the answer to the details that he needs as he encounters these things, Lord, that you. Lord, your word says that you answer us even before we ask so many times. And, Lord, that he'll have the answers right there on the tip of his tongue. Lord, that the answers will be right there in his hand.
even before he has to actually deal with them, that he'll have the answers right there in his hand. This is like, okay, you're equipped. It's already, he's already given you everything that you need, and you're not going to have to search for it. You're not going to have to hunt for it, because it's going to be, oh, no, I got this. Just like working on a car or something, you know, you need another part, and you look, it's like, no, I got that screwdriver, whatever, right here. You don't have to go hunt it or buy it. So thank you, Lord, for doing all of that in Greg's life, and, Lord, using him everywhere he goes. Lord, let him be a voice for you everywhere he goes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You had to bring the car analogy.
Okay, why?
Forgiven. That's what I do. I mean, besides the fact that I work as a... I sell paint because it's a passion. I've been painting cars and doing body work since I was 18 years old. And still
that's
like...
That's so funny, because that's kind of like the canoeing thing, the kayaking thing.
Yep. I still like doing that too. Yep, I've done it. I mean, anything with wheels. I mean, yeah, I'm like on water anymore. I'm more content in a kayak than I am in a powered boat. But you know, motorcycles and cars and stuff like that, I've always been tinkering, customizing, kind of giving them my own flavor. I don't hardly ever leave anything alone. And do most of my own work. My son is an amazing mechanic, so he's kind of taken over the mechanic side. He's way better than I ever was at that stuff. But as far as the paint and body and just having an eye for what I like and making a car look that way, that's I've been doing that since I was very young.
Wow. That just amazes me how God gives me analogies that end up being part of your real life. I love that.
No, not just part. I mean, it's a major passion. You can ask Jennifer. She'll tell you. May borderline on obsession or sickness, but cars are definitely my thing.
That's cool. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love how God has been doing that.
It's just, I don't know. I've asked him to take it away from me before because I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a joy. I enjoy doing it. And you know, I just got done restoring a 97 4Runner that was in horrible, horrible shape. And still just like to tinker with stuff.
That's a good skill to have, though. Mechanics are high.
Well, you know, I got into it when I was 18, and I was blessed. My family was comfortable. But I didn't have the kind of money to do to cars what I wanted to do, and my dad wasn't. He bought my first car for me, but that's where it ended. He wasn't going to, you know, give me money to throw at it. So anything that I wanted to do, I had to do on my own. And so I either had to generate my own money or learn how to do it. And I had a very, very close friend when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, and him and his dad did cars together. And I hung out with them a lot, and I learned a lot, and just kind of kept it rolling.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, my dad was kind of like that. He loved to buy tractors and tinker with them and redo them. And my oldest brother actually fooled with cars. And when he was a long teenager, was into race cars of some sort, that kind of stuff. All the men in my family always loved fast cars, though.
I'm not afraid to go fast.
Yeah, my brother and my dad wasn't either.
Yeah.
My brother one time, I remember he had a GTO. I think it was GTO. They go like 160 or whatever it was, and he punched it. He took me for a ride, and I couldn't even raise up off the seat.
Yeah, it actually sounds like a GTO judge. That was the fastest GTO probably ever made.
Yeah, I knew it was GTO. I'll follow that other. I don't know. But I grew up with all that kind of stuff. It was loud, but it was fun.
Yeah.
But it's a good skill to have, absolutely. My husband is not any kind of grease monkey whatsoever, so nowadays if anything has to be done, it has to go to the shop. So that's a wonderful thing to have somebody that knows how to work on stuff at the home.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, is there anything in particular you want to pray about, too?
No, I mean, I'm still basking in the enjoyment of a job that is a true pleasure. I mean, I made an analogy today. Somebody asked me, it's like, you know, how are you liking it? And I'm like, well, I came from LKQ, so it could be a crappy job and it would still be better. I said, but honestly, it's the first time it ever hit me. I said, it's literally like going from hell to heaven. And,
wow.
I stopped when I said that, and I'm like, that's a really accurate analogy, because I was miserable. I mean, I was miserable. And now, like,
I'm so glad God did this for you.
Oh,
I'm
man.
So glad.
I'm happy to get up and go to work. I work longer than I did when I was at LPQ because I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy who I'm doing it for, and I'm appreciated. You know, I've been told that how much they appreciate me and how glad they are to have me more times than a month and a half, and I've probably heard it in the last 10 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, God had this for you all along.
Oh, yeah.
And he had it
and
for
I mean,
you all along.
And the time that I spent at LKQ, although it was stressful and exhausting mentally and emotionally, but the reality is it prepared me for this. It gave me knowledge and experience that if I had not gotten it, I would not have been able to get this job.
Correct.
You know,
so
it's like that
the painful
so often.
Step. Yeah, that I had to go through that pain process of, you know, starting there and loving it and finding out that it was not all it's cracked up to be and coming to hate it within probably 4 months of getting hired. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, but again, had I not had that process and the training that and experience that it brought me, I would not have been able to get this job.
Yeah. God works like that so much. It's like because he sees the beginning from the end. He's like, sorry, but you got to have this.
Yeah. Yep, that is a fact. But it's all good. Yeah, and no, I'm just super grateful.
I bet. I'm so happy for you. I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. But I'll let you get on to others. I know you got a short time, so.
All right.
We love
well, God bless you, Greg. I enjoy talking to you.
You too, Jeannie.
You have a blessed week. All right, 919-292, who am I speaking with and where are you calling from?
Hi, G-Man. This is Shaquella calling from North Carolina. How are you? How you been?
Oh, I'm good, girl. It's good talking with you. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk
I've
to
got
you.
A lot of y'all's numbers put back in my desk, but I haven't had time to go through all these numbers and consolidate them. So right now I'm having to ask about some of the numbers that normally I would have known. Yeah, good talk with you. Thank you. All is good here. Very, very, very busy, but good. So, well, let's pray for you. Father, I thank you for Shaquella. And Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, of painting the picture, Lord, of the picture that you have for Shaquella, the picture. Shaquella's like I see almost like a painting hanging on the wall and like the picture coming together. You know, sometimes when someone first starts a picture and we're looking at it and we're going, what is this going to be, you know? Particularly those, like you see some of those nowadays, they'll paint those pictures upside down and then they'll flip it over and it's like, oh, yeah, I can see what that is. And it's like it's the way I've been seeing it, it's like the picture has been like you couldn't really at times tell what you were looking at. It was like, what is this going to be, you know, in bits and pieces. But it's like I see the picture coming into focus enough of it being complete that you can see, you know, the picture coming into real visualization of like seeing what, and in this case, seeing what God's plans for are, yeah, really, and seeing where he's taking you. And it doesn't mean that it's completely finished, but like it coming into focus in that sense of like, okay, this is making sense or this. You know, I'm starting to see this. This is starting to look like a picture to me. I'm starting to have some understanding. I'm starting to see what it is. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Shaquella, Father of Lord, the places that she has had, the places that she's had heartbreak, and the places where she has had disappointments, and the places where she's had. At times even felt exasperated because she was trying to figure out what to do. She was trying to see her way clear, Father, that you bring in peace and bring a settledness to her heart, Father. And, Lord, things starting to make more sense, things starting to seem more clear, and things starting to feel more settled than they have in the past. Not that it's all done yet. And it's honestly, things are never all done until we've completely finished our race here. But sometimes we get a view then, and we really get a view of what, to a degree of what God's trying to do in our life and where he's wanting to take us. And it kind of helps us to set our sights. It's almost like putting a GPS on your vehicle, you know, of where you're going. It's like sometimes when we're wandering around and we don't know, you know, we're looking for a certain business and we don't know exactly where it's at. And sometimes we might have to Google it. Okay, I'm not familiar with that road. Where is that? You know, and so we GPS it or something on our vehicle, and it takes us there. Well, when we have that direction of like, okay, I at least know sort of where God's taking me. I kind of have a designation point. Then it helps us to kind of strike out with a little more meaningful, a little more deliberate step, because it's like, all right, I kind of know where I'm going here. I know where God's taking me. I at least know the general direction I'm going here. And I just sense it bringing a greater level of peace to you, and where at times maybe you may have felt exasperated some because trying to get the pieces to come together of things getting easier. Like I said, not necessarily every question answered, but things getting easier in that sense. And it bringing a little bit more peace, you know, a little bit more, okay, you know, kind of like Greg, almost a second breath, but just making things feel a little easier and a little like, okay, I don't feel like I'm in the wilderness. I feel like I have a designation point and that I'm on my way. I'm on the journey and I'm moving with God. So Father, I thank you for Shaquilla and Lord for just blessing her and blessing her joy, Lord. Blessing her joy in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That was so beautiful. The prayer that God had you to pray is so on point, because for so long in these past years, it's been like situation after another, not just in one area. It's like every area of my life, even with, you know, once God like elevates me and I got a new job, it was still challenges on that job, on my current job. But I can see things, like you said, becoming easier, becoming more clear, even with ministry, like just being in the process and on this journey. Like there has been, you know, some difficult times, some challenging times, but I can clearly, you know, I can see more clear now. And I, you know, at one time I was so uncertain about, you know, you get weary, you know, mm-hmm. and whatnot.
Yep.
But I just thank God for the strength to keep on going, because, like you said, I couldn't see the picture clear, but I'm starting to see it a little clearer, more clear than it was in the beginning. So I just thank God for confirmation. You know, to keep on going, to keep on, you know, mm-hmm. keep on the journey, keep on in the process, and stay in the process that God has me in. Because, there's always going to be a situation that arises, but God gives us the wisdom and the understanding on how to maneuver through those things. So I just thank God.
Praise God.
And
thank God. Well, that's awesome, girl. That was what I was sensing, but that's awesome. And we just pray that that continues, and there continues to be a development of the picture, so that it all just continues to make more sense and brings you a greater sense of secureness there, a greater sense of peace. So, was there anything in particular you want prayer about, sweetie?
I'm going to go on a fast. I just want the strength to finish it and finish it strong.
Yeah.
So, and even in that God gives me clarity and a new level of wisdom.
Yeah. I tell you what, a God-led fast is a very powerful thing. I've never been a huge faster. I've done some fasting. The Lord led me in the first fast I ever did, the Lord led me. I was 13 years old, and I don't think I'd ever even been taught about fasting. But God led in it. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord,
for leading Shaquilla in this, Lord, giving her the strength and the willpower, Lord, just that tenacity just to see this through. And, Lord, that you will open up revelation to her, Lord, and that, Lord, nothing is wasted, Lord, that her sacrifice to you, Lord, is pleasing to you, Father. And, Lord, that as we sacrifice, as we crucify the flesh and seek after you and look to you for answers, Lord, that, Lord, your word said if we ask for food, that you not give us a stone, Lord, that your word says that if we ask for wisdom, Lord, that you give liberally, that you do not withhold. And, Lord, I just thank you so much for helping her, and, Lord, answering her prayers and meeting her at the point of her need, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your pleasure and your in her, that she pleases you, Lord, of her heart to know you more and to hear from you. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Gina. I just thank God for you, and I pray that God continues to bless you, to provide everything that you need and more. And even with ministry, just take you deeper and higher in him.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much. I receive it. Will you have a wonderful week and be blessed, hon.
You as well. Thanks again.
All right. 402-214.
What do you think?
402-214.
Hello? Hello?
Is it Sharon? Sharon?
Yeah, hi, honey. Hi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounded like I was hearing the television or something there at first.
Yes, you were. I had to mute it. I'm sorry.
That's fine. No big deal.
It's okay now. Well, hey, listen, I got to tell you real quick.
Go ahead.
This is the second time I've gotten a notice about you being on the show. But
uh-huh.
The time is wrong. They had you down as 9:00 Central. It's starting.
Now, see, he did that last week, and I sent him a text back, mm-hmm. and I said, I'm not on at 9:00. I'm on at 7:00. I didn't realize he had done that again this week. He dang sure did, didn't he? I see it now. Oh, yeah. See, then he went back and corrected it.
Did he? Because I sent a message.
Well, I don't
but I just guessed, because I got the 9:00, and I thought, no, she's not on at 9:00. Okay, so I got lucky. That's why I'm here. So that's why some people might have been
late.
Yeah.
So, he's just having a brain fart, I guess. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
That's all right. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sweetie. Let's pray for you. Father, I thank you for sharing. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're Lord, that you're just tying her in. I said, you know, I've seen this rope thing with you before, and once again, it's like I'm seeing a rope. You know, like you're tied in with God. It's like you have this rope, but you've got it wrapped around your wrist, and holding on to it. And that's so cool. I mean, you know, I watch these people sometimes in some of these games. You know, like on Survivor and stuff, and I'm thinking, wrap it around your wrist so you don't lose it, you know. And it's like you've got this rope wrapped around your wrist and then in your hand, you know, and you've just locked on, and you're pulling. It's like you have been pulling on the Lord, pulling for answers, pulling for wisdom, pulling for understanding, you know. And the word says, in all of your getting, get understanding, you know, because we can have the answers. You know, someone can, you know, even a math thing, they can say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, whatever. But if we don't understand how to, or something more complicated, but if we don't understand how to get that, you know, it's
okay.
Like, okay, that's the answer, but how did you get there?
I know.
How did you,
right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, how do we get there? So, you know, even though sometimes we might have the answer, if we don't know how to navigate through that or to it, it doesn't really help us, because we're like, okay, I understand that you know how to do this, but I don't know how to do this, you know. So just giving me the answer
exactly
doesn't fix it for me.
Right.
And I've just sensed like you've been, you know, you've been roped in with God. I mean, you've wrapped it around your wrist, and you are a knowledge seeker. You're an answer seeker. You've got that kind of mind.
Hanging
on, but you want to understand. And I just thank you, Lord, for bringing the understanding that Sharon wants, Lord, because she desires understanding. Lord, Sharon desires. I just, once again, a sense just what a detailed person you are, that you want all the puzzle pieces to fit. You want it to make sense to you. And not everything God does makes sense. You know, the things mm-hmm. that, we can't rationalize God. That doesn't happen. But we still want to have understanding. And I just sense like that yearning in your heart, that desire in your heart, that burning that almost at times frustrates you, because it's like, I want to understand this. I want to understand where people are coming from. I want to understand this. And it's really almost like a driving mm-hmm. force in your life at times. But
yeah.
I know that the Lord is pleased with your hunger in that way. He's pleased with your desire to be able to not only have wisdom, but to have understanding and to be able to make sense of it all. You know, because it brings you peace. When we have understanding, it brings us peace. You know, and I mean God's understanding. You know, it just brings peace. And that's one thing that I know we all long for, is peace and that rest in God. And I know you long for it in your heart. I do too. Long for that real rest of God in our hearts. And I know it's not, you know, we have to have faith, and we have faith, but, you know, like I said, he says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And I just sense the Lord working that in you, and the Lord answering your prayers. Sometimes he gives us things as we can handle it, as we can digest it, as we can process it. So,
right.
You know, God's so big, and his plans and the way he works, he can't dump it on us all at once. We couldn't handle it. But God is feeding you. I just sense like God hand feeding you. He's feeding you, and he is answering the desires of your heart in that way. And there'll be some things that you lay down. There'll be some things. There'll be things that used to maybe offend you some, that he's not going to let you be offended at. There's some things that maybe you thought were one way and were another. And true for us. I mean, there's things that I was raised believing that I no longer believe. You know, that God has changed some of my belief system in some things. And I think the more we seek God and just say, Lord, just show me, you know, and we're not adamant about hanging on to maybe what grandma believed, you know, we're just
mm-hmm.
adamant and hanging on to God, that he loves showing us truth, and he loves revealing himself and his true nature and who he is, and just allowing the rest and the peace of God just to completely sweep through us as we just trust him and know that he leads us in nothing but good things. He leads us in nothing but truth, because that's who he is. So, Lord, I thank you for Sharon, and, Lord, I thank you, Father, that she is tied in. She's wrapped that rope around her wrist, and she is tied in, and, Lord, she's pulling on you. She's pulling. She's wanting more. She's wanting more understanding. She's wanting more more of what all you that you have to offer. So, Lord, bless mm-hmm. her. Fill her to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As long as I'm holding on to God, that's good.
Yep.
To be hanging on to the wrong things.
Yep. It has to be God. It can't be people.
That's exactly.
Can't be old belief. Nothing. Long as we're holding on to God, we're good. We're good. He'll get us to the next point. But sweetie, is there anything in particular you were wanting prayer about anything you want to share with us?
Yeah, a couple of things. My daughter is finally getting a new job. She put in her notice today, which is just miraculous, because it was just too much. You know, she's been she's been feeling, you know, she's done her time, and she was never treated right, and it's a very hard job. But she's transferring to another whole area, a whole different thing. So I'd like to have prayers for her. And then prayers for that friend of mine, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
And understanding, to come to an understanding between us. It's hard to be a friend and not be able to communicate right.
Right. Okay.
Well, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sharon's daughter, Father. And, Lord, we thank you for this new job opportunity. And, Lord, we just pray and ask that it be a blessing to her and something that brings her great joy. Lord, we ask that she'll have favor on the job, Lord, and that they will recognize those wonderful giftings and talents that you have put within her. Father, that she will commit to being a blessing to them, Lord. And, Lord, that she'll just find new joys and new acquaintances in this change. Lord, it's such a season of change, such a season of shifting going on. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing her in this, Lord, that she'll be able just to embrace this with a great excitement and looking forward, Lord, to what you have next for her. And, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you help Kevin. I just sense hurt. When you were even mentioning Kevin, it was like I could feel like pain. I could feel pain in like in my heart or my chest, like in my heart. It's like I could feel pain. And Father, the things that have wounded Kevin, the things maybe even deep-seated hurts, Lord, whatever's going on there, Lord, that you will bring a release to him. Father, that he will find you in a way that he's never known you before. Lord, that the things that of the past, maybe that even occupy his mind or even keep him looking back, Lord, that you will give him a healing, Lord, even remove the scars of things from the past, Lord, that would almost try to haunt him at times, Lord. Lord, that you would bring healing to his body, because many times things that are going on in our body can be a result of emotional things that have gone on in the past. Many sicknesses, just like they say, stress can be is one of the biggest sickness causers or disease causers there is. Many times, what's behind sickness going on in our body can be emotionally based from things that have gone on before, things that have continued to hang on. And it can be other things too. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, for releasing, for relieving that pain that Kevin has, Lord. That he would find a direction in you and joy in you, and Lord, that even, Lord, that there be a new level of communication even between him and Sharon, Lord. But Father, as he finds you in a very genuine way, Lord, he'll find relationships, God relationships will begin to flow easier. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing healing to his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, I just know that's what I felt. Like I said, when you first started talking about
hurt.
Him, I could feel pain.
Right.
So, all right. Well,
thank you so much for all your prayers and the encouragement.
God bless
you're
you.
You're more than welcome. God bless you too, hon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I will talk to you another time. 267-453, who am I speaking with and where are you calling from? Hello.
Hi, this is Donna. Hi, my name is Donna.
Anna.
And this is my first time calling. My cousin
gave
me the number to.
All right. What state are you in, Anna?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah. Write that down. All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being on the program tonight. We certainly appreciate you. And you know what we typically do is pray for you, and then if we got a few minutes, then, you know, let you talk. So, Father, I thank you for Anna. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your love for her, Lord, and for your covering over her. Lord, how that you have covered her. Lord, how that you have walked with her, Lord, even at times when she may not have known that you were there. Lord, how you have protected her. God, that you have been a protection over her at times, Lord, when she was totally unaware that you were covering her in that way. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for going before her, Lord, the places where her footing may have seemed shaky, where her footing, where her steps have felt unsure, maybe at times even steps felt insecure, like this doesn't feel safe, this doesn't feel like I really know if this is a step I'm supposed to take. You know, we can take steps in life that sometimes we really know it's like, okay, this is the next step, this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is where I'm supposed to be connecting. This, and sometimes those steps, if we're not really sure, it can feel, and unsafe doesn't necessarily mean, you know, someone physically going to harm you, but it can feel like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do, and it'll feel intimidating that this is the next step that we're supposed to take. But, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing forth some godly connections for Anna, Lord, for bringing forth connections, Lord, that would be divine connections. Lord, people that she can trust and people that she can love and people, even people that are key in our development, people that are key in our future, because God always has those individuals that are key in our future. There's a lot of people we meet. There's a lot of people we're friends with, but not everybody is key in our life. And many times there are certain people that connect us to our destiny, that connect us to our future, that they're a stepping stone in a sense to where our next place is. I know God has used me like that in the past a lot, that he would use me as a connector. And that many times it wasn't about me. Many times it was about other people. He wanted to use me to connect two people together because of their destiny, because of what he was wanting to do in their lives. But he needed some way to bring them together. And maybe I was in the right places in the right time and was willing to travel, you know, travel between towns or whatever, travel between meetings, travel. But he was able to use me to connect those people together. And then that was my only role in it. It wasn't about me. It was about bringing those two together. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing key people into Anna's life, Lord, that would help connect her into those next stages and those next phases and those next seasons that you have for her. And Lord, that she will sense that specialness. Sometimes we sense that someone in particular is special. We may not always know what it means or what it is, but we'll sense that this person, that this is a God connection. So, Father, just thank you, Lord, for answering her questions. Lord, I thank you, Father, for giving her a new sense of security, a new sense of well-being, a new sense of hope, a new sense of hope, Lord. And that in each and every step that she can trust you along the way, in each and every step, Lord, that you answer, that she can trust you to answer, Lord, and that her trust increases and builds with you. And, Father, that she finds a great peace and a great rest in that, Lord, that she's not alone. She doesn't have to do it on her own. Sometimes we pressure ourselves because we feel like, oh, I've got to do this. And I've got to make the right decisions, and I've got to make the right financial decisions, and I've got to make the right job decisions, and I've got to pick the right house and all of this. And we pressure ourselves when all the time God is there saying, I want to lead you, and I want to guide you, and I want to bring good things into your life, and I want to, overall, I want to bring a great peace into your life and a great rest into your life. And as you trust me, you'll find a greater joy and a release of tension that only God can do. So, Father, I thank you for Anna. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. That sounds about like my life. Just my name is Donna. I know it's kind of hard to come through
oh, okay.
on
I'm
the
sorry,
phone,
Donna.
But So everything you were saying, you still know me. You still got everything right. I have had a lifelong insecurities and not feeling worthy and not feeling like what I have and how I actually got there and how I know it was all God that got me through a lot and that put me in position to do a lot of things that ordinarily I was fearful of doing for myself.
We've all been there,
honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all had those times that it God's brought us through more times than we can ever imagine.
Yeah, he has. And right now I'm just trying to seek a closer relationship with him and just find out what he has in store for me going forward.
Yes. I just keep trusting him, stay in his word, keep busy with him. You know, and one time, to me, that I found that the more that I relax in God, the better I can hear him. And sometimes like just going and sitting on the porch or finding a place, you know, sometimes I don't have to drive somewhere where you just sit and look at it, like, and just sitting quietly and just soaking in God, you know, to get our hearts at peace and get our minds, that's getting our minds quiet. Many times it's the hardest thing to do, but finding a place that relaxes us and brings peace to us, for me, nature always does. And then when we get our hearts still and our minds still, then many times we'll hear God so much more clear when we're in a place that's pleasant to us and we're not striving to hear him, but we're just relaxing and it gets everything at peace where we can hear clearly.
Okay, that's good. I'll be doing that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, was there anything in particular you wanted prayer about while I got you, hon?
To pray for my daughter and our health, my and my daughter's health.
Okay. Well, Father, I just come before you, Lord, and come into agreement with Donna, Lord, that your word says that by your stripes we were healed, that, Lord, that you bore our pain, you bore our sorrows, Lord, that everything has been bought and paid for. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, even for bringing forth, giving Donna the wisdom, Lord, sometimes even things that we do, our things in our diet or things we're around that can affect our health, Lord, that give her all the wisdom that she needs, Lord, her and her daughter, Lord, that would bring them to greater health. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, as the peace of God just envelops her, as the peace of God, Lord, just invades her very being, that many times that even that peace, it allows our body to heal. It allows things to regenerate and just things to heal that have been like just our system being out of kilter. So, Father, I just speak a healing over Donna and her daughter, Lord, and that the peace of God and the healing streams of God, Lord, just course through their body, Lord. Even, Lord, as they take communion, you know, communion is a very powerful thing for healing and everything else is concerned, but it says, you know, his body and his blood, that he paid all the price for our healing. So that's another thing. You'll hear Randy teach on that a lot, on the power of communion. So, Father, I just speak a peace to the body and a healing to the body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, hon. Well, thank you for calling in. It was wonderful getting to talk to you and getting to meet you at least over the air, and just pray that you have a blessed week.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Okay, y'all, it's 8:30. See, it just started echoing, so I know I've got several callers left, but I will have to close the program out. And I'm so sorry. I would love to have talked to each and every one of you guys. But hopefully if you really need prayer, you can call back into Randy's program at 9 o'clock and can get prayer with him. So God bless y'all. Hope you have a wonderful week. And I will be back next week. Good night.